passionate parenting. We've been learning principles from the Word of God and how we can more effectively be parents or prepare for that stage of life in our future as we desire to have the hearts of our children. And today we're going to talk about the praying parent. The praying parent. Now, have you ever come to the place in your life as a mom or a dad where you thought, what in the world is going on with my child? What is going on in their brain? Why are they behaving this way? What's happening? And then even maybe to the point of, what do I do about it? I see maybe behavior or patterns or attitudes that I don't like, or that if I were really honest or scary, and if that's the outward manifestation of something on the inside, then I really don't know what's going on, but it gives me concern, it gives me pause, maybe it's kept you up at night or whatever, and then there's just this overwhelming, what can I do? And have you ever been there? And I think many of us as parents have. And what do parents who are studying the Word of God and trying to fulfill their role according to the biblical pattern, what do they do when they don't know what to do? What's the answer for the parent that doesn't know what to do? And the simple fact of being a parent is that it is one of the most overwhelming and daunting responsibilities that an adult can ever assume. Being a parent is work. And nurturing lives from infancy to post-graduation and out of your home is an incredible amount of responsibility. And there's a lot that goes with it. And when we think about that, and we think about maybe how overwhelming it is, or maybe how under-equipped we are for what we face in the journey of parenting, this morning I want to give you some good news that when you and I are feeling helpless, we're really not. When we're feeling powerless, we're really not. When we feel that we don't have the knowledge or the expertise that parenting requires, I want to remind you that you and I have access to the greatest parent of all time. We have access to our Heavenly Father who loves you, who knows you, who loves your children, and who wants to be a guiding voice in this journey for you through His Word to the benefit of the development of your children. Now notice in our text, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Basically, God is saying, stop worrying. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing. How, Brother Gabe, how can we live not in worry? How can we live just knowing everything's going to be okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding? What does that mean? It means no matter what I face today, I'll be okay. Because what I don't understand, I have peace in my heart that God will take care of me. And what I face tomorrow that I don't anticipate or would not wish on anybody, maybe that phone call about my health or maybe that pink slip at work or whatever the case may be, I can have a peace inside because I know God will take care of me. Well, how do we get to that place of peace? Well, he says in Philippians, first of all, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about it. But that is not the full motion. In other words, sometimes we want to say to people, stop worrying, you're wasting time. The Bible takes it a step further. The Bible says, stop worrying and pray. Replace the time you spend worrying and pray. And pray. That's how you get a peace that passeth all understanding. This time that I would spend in worry and anxiety and wondering and cringing and thinking and going through every plausible scenario in my mind of everything that could go wrong this week and how would we respond, whether it was about my life or my job or my marriage or my kids or whatever. God says, reinvest that energy that really is being wasted and reinvest it in prayer. Prayer, because when we're praying, God will give us a peace in our heart that passeth all understanding. And that's what we need if we're going to successfully be the mom and dad that God would have us to be. So let's dive into this. What is a praying parent? First of all, I want us to see this morning God's promises about prayer. Boy, God provides some powerful promises regarding prayer. Notice these with me in your notes in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God says, if you're facing some trouble, call on me, and I will deliver thee. You and I may have faced something this past week, in fact, and maybe it wasn't our first instinct to call on the Lord. And God is reminding you and I, call on me. I will deliver you. I will take care of you. You can count on me. And sometimes we need to be reminded who it is that God is. God created this world in six literal 24-hour days, and He just spoke it into being. God crossed the Red Seas. God sent fire down from heaven. God has performed many wonderful and amazing, miraculous works for His people. And that same God desires to work in your life and on your behalf today. Boy, God can deliver you and I. But then notice Psalms 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. When you call upon God, he's going to answer. Now, he may not answer the way you want him to answer. He may not answer when you want him to answer, but he promises to answer. God's going to answer when you call. God's going to answer when you pray. And God loves you, and God knows what is best, and God will do what is best in his timing for you and for me. We need to call upon him. But then notice in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now the Lord is nigh, or means the Lord is close. And I think we all desire for the Lord to be close to us. We want to be close to the Lord. And the Bible says that relationship, that closeness is reserved for those who are calling upon him, who are praying, who are coming to him, and who are coming to him in truth. God is never going to answer a prayer that we are asking that contradicts his word. Again, in the context of family, because that's so much of what our class is about. Sometimes people will come to me and say, Brother Rule, we've been praying and we're going to get a divorce and we think God's given us peace about that. And I always say something like, well, we're praying to two different gods. Because the God I pray to put in his word that what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God's not going to tell somebody in prayer, yes, you can directly defy my word with my blessing. That's not going to happen. So we are to come to God in prayer, in faith believing, and in truth. And he will draw nigh. He will be close to that person. Prayer is a powerful ingredient to the parent, and we want to be sure that we are claiming God's promises regarding prayer. The single most powerful parenting practice you and I can exercise is simply prayer. We've got to be praying parents. Now, let's see then, secondly, how to make it happen. How to make it happen. I think everybody would be in agreement thus far. Brother Roy, we're with you. Prayer is important. We need prayer in our life personally. We need prayer in our marriage. We need prayer in our parenting and our relationship with our children. We all agree we need more prayer in our home. But let's be honest, that's easier said than done. It's challenging to pray every day. It's challenging to pray with others. It's challenging to make that and keep that the priority that it should be. So how can we make that happen? I want us to look at seven practical steps to praying with our children. First of all, letter A, accept the responsibility of spiritual leadership. Mom, dad, accept the responsibility of spiritual leadership. God gave you your children because they need you. They need you to be spiritually leading in their lives. Spiritual authority, they need you. And you've got to accept that responsibility. Now, thank God for Lancaster Baptist Church. Thank God for the ministry of Lancaster Baptist School. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers and the children's rally workers and all the people that may be influencing your children for good and for right. But I want to remind you and I and challenge you and I this morning, none of that replaces our responsibility. That's It is still our responsibility to provide that spiritual leadership in the home. So we've got to accept that responsibility and own it. Letter B, then decide on the best time to pray together. Now, this is super practical. But if you're going to pray together as a family, how many of us would admit this morning that if we just say it, that's a great idea, we're going to pray together as a family, it's probably not going to happen. Because you're going to have to schedule it. When are we going to pray together as a family? Boy, dad gets up and leaves early, or mom does this, and then the kids have got this, and then there's this practice and this music lesson and this whatever. And there's just life gets busy. Boy, the plate gets full fast and the calendar gets overflowing at times. And we've got to decide when. When are we going to pray together? When is your family going to pray together? When are you and your spouse going to pray together? When is that going to happen? And not being cheesy or over complicating it, but you might even have to get a calendar out and just reserve some time and say, this is when this is going to happen. We're not going to schedule other stuff at this time because this is important and we need it. Decide on the best time. Talk about it. Agree on it. And then plug it in to the family calendar and for you and your spouse as well. Let us see. Then pray together individually and as a family. Pray together individually and as a family. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, it would be good for the whole family to be together for a time of prayer. Now, it may be that in that context, I'll use my family. It may be in that context that sometimes I just pray. And sometimes at the end of our family devotions, that's exactly what I do. Sometimes we all pray. Sometimes I'll say, Mom, why don't you pray? Or Joseph, why don't you lead us in prayer before everybody goes to bed? So it doesn't have to be everybody praying every time, but there should be a time where the entire family is together in prayer. In addition to that, and separate from that, then there should be individual times of praying together. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is you and your spouse. When do you pray together where it's just you two? And then, if you have children, when do you pray with those children individually? It might be you have like a family devotion time towards the end of the evening, and everybody's together and you're studying something in God's Word or reading a simple biblical truth. And then you have a family prayer time, and again, everybody might pray, or one person might pray, however it works, how much time you have. But then it might be as you send the kids to bed that you go crawl in their bed or go kneel next to their bed, and then just one by one you pray with them individually. You give them a moment with just you and just them in prayer. Why? Because sometimes things that are on their heart will come out at times like that. Sometimes they'll voice some things maybe unto the Lord that you need to hear, or they need to hear you praying for them. So individually and as a family, schedule that, prioritize that, and then protect it. Letter D, pray personally and transparently. Be personable and be transparent. Lord, I pray that you would help Annalene with her spirit. We've had a couple rough days, and God, I just pray that you would help her. And what am I doing? I'm just being transparent. I'm a dad praying with his daughter who has noticed some things, sensed some things, maybe dealt with some things, and now I'm asking God just to help. And she needs to hear that. And it's not my opportunity to just run her down before God. I believe... my children have heard me say in times of prayer far more often, God, thank you for blessing me with Lydia. I'm just amazed you gave her to me. Thank you. She's such a beautiful girl. She's so much fun. I don't know how our home would ever be the same. Lord, thank you for being so good. I promise you, my kids have heard me pray something like that individually 10 times to every one time I've said, help this little dirty, rotten, whatever, you know. And we got to get this fixed, you know. And so it's not just your time to run them down before God, but be transparent. Be personable. It's a private time with you and them and the Lord. Letter E, express physical affection during your prayer. It might be holding hands. It might be put your arm around them. You might crawl up into bed and kind of wrap them in your arms. But express physical attention during your prayer. You want the expression of physical affection to be normal in your home. Now, we live in a sin-sick, wicked world today. No doubt about it. And the abuse of children by predators is a terrible, terrible thing. But here's what it cannot accomplish. It cannot accomplish in a good, God-fearing, wholesome home, no affection being shown. Children need affection. I have three daughters that need their daddy to love them and to express love and to show love and to hold hands and put my arm around them and to for them to know that to me they are special and valuable. That's important. And our sons need it as well. We want to express that kind of affection. You say, Brother Roll, I grew up in a home and it wasn't like that. Then you can be the game changer. And you can make it right. But express the physical attention and affection during your prayer and hugging them goodnight and those types of things. That is so, so, so important. Your children will reach an age where this becomes a need. And if it's not being met by you, they'll find somebody more than willing to meet it. And you want to make sure that that rests safely in your hands with what you're doing. Letter F, be serious, but not too serious. Be serious, but not too serious. This is a prayer time. Obviously, whenever we talk to God, it's a very reverent time. But don't make it so, you know, somber and sober. Now, there are going to be times where it just is organically because of what's on your heart. But there's got to be some other times where it's fun. Sometimes we'll be preparing for a meal and the kids will see what it is we're eating. And it's, you know, asparagus or broccoli or green beans. And somebody will, oh boy, you know. And so we'll have prayer and we'll thank God for the food. And mom who prepared it, then we'll say, Lord, help Joseph to love these green beans and whatever. And then we'll, you know, amen or whatever. And we're just kind of having some fun. And usually it'll incite some giggles or whatever, you know, and just keep it real. And yes, it's serious, but don't be too serious. And if some fun things happen along the way, roll with it because inevitably they will. Letter G, then visit for a few moments. After you have time of prayer with your children or your spouse, visit for a few moments. Right after a time of prayer is a great time to ask, hey, is everything okay between us? Is there anything you want to say? Is there anything you feel like we need to talk about? Is there anything that we just maybe have kind of left unresolved? That time after prayer, usually you'll find real tender hearts that are open. And when something needs to be discussed, that's a good time to invite that discussion. Whether it's between you and your spouse, you or your child, take a moment and have that discussion. These are just practical, simple, little tips and ideas to help us have quality time of prayer in our home, individually, as a couple, and with our children, as the Lord provides. Thirdly and finally, let's look at some final principles on prayer with our children. Just some final thoughts that I want to be sure we include in this lesson with this important thought of the praying parent. First of all, I want to say, letter A, if this is new for you, you're going to find it to be difficult at first, but it will soon be natural. So if you're hearing this today and this is not part of your habit and you go home and want to implement this habit, maybe you and your spouse praying together, maybe right now you're not doing that and you say, boy, you know, that makes sense. We need to do that. And so you're going to start doing that. I just want to forewarn you, at first, it's going to feel awkward. I'm just telling you straight up, all right? So just get ready for it because you're going to be sitting there, kneeling there, laying there, and it's going to be time to pray, and then it's like, who prays first? And then, you know, if she says something positive about me, then I got to find something positive to say. And if she runs me down, then what can I get away with? You know, and it's just kind of all these things going on in your mind about how's this going to work? And I just want to tell you that initially, it's a little difficult and awkward. And with your kids as well. And just know that going into it. But know that with practice and with time and with repetition, it becomes natural. It becomes something that feels very natural to do, and it is very natural to do. And so just forewarn, don't get discouraged. Just stay after it, and God will bless you for doing it. Letter B, do not force your child to pray. If you're not in the habit of this, and you begin doing this, and again, you're the parent, you're taking the lead, that's right, but then you go to have your child pray, and they're nervous, or they don't know what to say, or they're just not quite sure how to respond and they don't pray right away. Don't worry about that. And you just finish and you go on and you just say, boy, honey, or son, or sweetie, I hope that someday you'll feel comfortable that we could pray together. But you just keep doing it. And they're going to hear you be real and be transparent before God and express love for them, and it will come. It will develop. So don't worry about it right at first. Now, if you are in the habit of praying with your children all the time, and you have a time of prayer and they won't pray, that's probably a warning sign something's wrong. And that's where you just need to stop and say, hey, what's going on? Why didn't you feel like praying today? Is there something in your heart, something you feel bad about? Is there something between us that I've done? What's up? So if you're in the habit of it and all of a sudden they don't want to do it, find out. But if they're not in the habit, give them some time. Letter C, understand that your child's heart was designed for this. You're not asking them to do something that they were not designed for. They're designed for a close relationship with you. They're designed for a need of the Lord. They're designed to need this time of prayer. But Schmidt in the book said, you are attractive to your child. Knowing you, being accepted by you, being close to you matters to them. It's a craving of their soul. And also being close with God and knowing Jesus, their hearts will blossom and thrive in His presence. And it's up to you and I to lead them there. So this is a need they have deep within. Let's meet it. Let's be tenacious and diligent in it. If it starts off a little rocky or inconsistent or awkward, keep moving. It will get there, and you'll look back and you'll say, I'm so glad we did this. This is one of the best things we ever did, the praying parent. Letter D, do not make this a marathon. Do not prove to your children the depth of your spirituality by the length of your prayers. Okay? Because it will not come across like that to them. All right? Now, that's great that you know all 200 and some missionaries that we support can recite them from memory. That's awesome. Okay? But that bedtime prayer may not be the time to do that. So don't make this a marathon. And sometimes we know something going on in the heart of our child, and so right in front of them, we just kind of want to pray it out of them. And just be careful. Don't make it a marathon. Be sensitive and discerning to the Spirit into what you should do. Letter E. This is tough, and it requires time and sacrifice. You say, Brother Rule, we're talking about praying, right? We are. But listen to me. This is going to take time and sacrifice on your behalf. If this is going to be part of the DNA of your home, you're going to have to make it a priority. You're going to have to schedule it. You're going to have to make it happen. And then you're going to have to fight like crazy to protect it, to keep it in its rightful place in your home. And prayer should be. It's a vital ingredient for every home. And then letter F. And this was a very challenging, convicting thought to me this week. Pray for them more than you pray with them. That's a simple thought, but it is a very challenging thought. Pray for your children more than you pray with them. What have we talked about today? Talked about praying with them. It ought to be habit in your home to pray before the meal. Lord, thank you for the provision of this meal and those who prepared it. It ought to be the habit in your home to begin your day with prayer. Our habit in our home is we have some routines in the morning, but on the way to school even, we'll sing, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Then I always tell them something I learned from the proverb that day and apply it to their life. And then we go around the car and we pray that God would give us a good day. We're opening the day in prayer. We're ending the day in prayer. We're praying before meals. It's just kind of part of our life. And then we should be praying individually with our spouse, and we should be praying individually with our kids, and we should be making this a priority. But more than that, we've got to pray for them. We've got to pray for them. And I would encourage you to have a prayer list that you pray for your children. My wife has this hanging on our refrigerator, and I think she got it from one of our kids' teachers, and it says 12 prayers to daily pray for your children. Number one, pray for their salvation, the conviction of their sin, for them to have a humble and submissive spirit, a love for God's word, a protection from evil, fear from the need of others' approval, wisdom and wise choices, submission to God, to have a faith that works, to have godly friendships, to have lifelong relationship with siblings for their future spouse. Those are just 12 simple ideas of things you could pray for every day about your child. And I think if you sat down and just thought about it and who they are and what they need, you could develop a beautiful list that every day you just go through before the throne, just you and God praying for your child. Pray more for them than you do with them. you and I can turn to our own limited understanding and perspective. We can try to pull together a human solution which will not work. We can try to fight with our children. We can panic, and we can make a bad situation worse. Or we can pray. And I want to encourage us this morning. Let's commit to be praying parents. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's make our homes a place of prayer. And this week, let's take some time individually praying, as a couple praying, as a family praying, individually with family relationships praying, lots and lots of prayer. If we can get a lot of prayer into our homes, a lot of good things will happen. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together this morning in your word. God, I pray that you would strengthen our homes. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every relationship. And I pray that these few moments spent together this morning, drawing our attention to the emphasis of prayer, Lord, may it challenge and encourage and equip us to make this a priority, to schedule it, to begin doing it, and to stay with it. And God, I pray that you'd bless the homes of our class, because we're making you a priority and making our time of prayer a priority in our life. Lord, would you bless every family this week in a mighty way? Bless the service to follow and all those involved in this special baptism day. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.